That's mine, if only. Hey. Happy Mother's Day. How's everyone doing? Can I just share something really quick? I feel like that video makes me look way cooler than I really am. So just to clarify, like, normally there's no music when I do that spoken word piece. When I watched it, I was like, she's super cool. Who is she? Right? I'm like looking at it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's me. Oh, yeah. So I did write that, and it is about my story. I spent 10 years here in Santa Barbara County in our foster care system. But my journey started way, way before that. It started with, can we go to the first slide? It started with a beautiful woman who had, I think we're pulling up my slide. We're going to see some pictures of my mamas. A beautiful woman who had three beautiful girls. And her story wasn't always perfect, and I want to honor my mother's story today because I think today is the day to honor mothers all the way around. Can I get an amen for that? Because I feel like we need an amen for our mamas. So my mama's story was broken, and it was hurt, and she had three beautiful girls, me and my two sisters, Ariana and Cynthia, who are not here with us today, but you guys will see some pictures of them. And the thing was, we were really poor, you guys, and our situation was really hard. And there's no easy way to say it, that we were a broken, hurt family. Like many of the families here in San Maria, to be honest with you, right? Sometimes we look the other way or we pretend it's not happening, but it is, right in our own backyard. And so it got to the point where my mom said, I can't do this. I'm a single mama. I don't have the support. And she sent all the girls to go live with their dads. But she didn't know who my dad was, so she kept me. And we went on a longer journey together, one that ended in hardship because she just couldn't care for me. She loved me. We have a joke in our family that my mom has love Tourette's, so you'll be walking by, and she'll be like, I really like your shirt. I really like your hair. She'll have to give you some kind of compliment. The thing you have to know about my mom is she's the woman on, I think it is, we're going to go with, she's the one, that one over there, the one on the right. I had to take a second, I'm like, L-O-V-E. but the thing was, the hard part about it, she was bipolar and schizophrenic. And I've asked her if I could share this on stage today. I don't think it dishonors her by sharing that. I think it honors her because she had a hard story and a hard life, and she still loved us three girls. And she did the hardest thing I think any mama could do and said, I can't do this. I want somebody who can. I want somebody who can love you well. I want to give you that. So she let us go. I ended up in the foster care system. And my journey, I traveled, and I met another amazing mama. How lucky was I that I got two moms? Y'all are a little jealous right now, I know. One of you only get one, but I got two. Actually, I got multiple moms. And that's the next mom on my left-hand side. Her name is Sue Crowley, and she loved me well. She loved me when it wasn't easy to love me. Talking about writing inappropriate things on fences. All the things I could tell you that I did. Because when I came into care, let's be real, I was hurting, so I hurt people. I was broken, so I wanted to break people. And I was angry, just like that video had said. I was super angry, you guys. You wouldn't have known it from just looking at me. Matter of fact, when you looked at me, you would probably think, oh, she's such a cute little girl. Or that's what I like to tell myself. but I felt that way. And the thing was, when I first came into care, I remember what it was like because it had been raining outside. And I'd been by myself for about a month, month and a half. And I forgot my keys. I locked myself out. So I had to go over to the neighbor's house. And I went and knocked on the neighbor's door. And I said, you know, hey, I'm locked out again. I'm really sorry. And they let me into, you know, they had me sit down in the back bedroom, put on the TV. But I could hear them arguing in the front room. She's not our kid. We've got to do something about this. We can't keep doing this. And next thing I knew, there were cops showed up, and I was being taken away, and I was so confused. I was lost, and I was like, whoa, what just happened? And the thing was, where I landed was with a woman who had a daycare. So when I woke up in the morning, there were all these little people standing around me. And I kind of felt like I was in The Wizard of Oz. You know, I'm like, where's the yellow brick road? But she had a daycare and they'd all come in. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? You have to understand, I lived by myself for most of the time. And my mom, when her mental illness would take over, she was in her own world. So a lot of times I took care of her. I learned how to be her mother in some senses. But again, that doesn't dishonor her. I say that because that's part of her journey. And she loved us to the best of her capacity, right? And maybe it's not what everybody's standards are, but that's what she knew and that's what she had to give. So when the second woman came along and was totally different from my mom, and at first they wanted to adopt me out when I came in. And I actually have a funny story. When I walked in here, when I first met Pastor Tim, we were in the kids' room, I think it was, or the gymnasium. And I'm like walking around and I'm like, I think I've been here before. Why does this feel so familiar? Like that point when you're almost uncomfortable because you're like, this is like deja vu. I can't explain it. I got the little goosebumpies. And I was trying to figure it out and I realized this church was the first church where I heard the word of God. A family in this church, when I was originally being adopted out, because they used to put it in newspapers back then, and there was like a cute little picture of me. They didn't realize all the truth. And they said, hey, we have this beautiful little girl for adoption. Come love her. And one of your guys' church members, I was 8 then, came and said, we wanna try this. And so we went and we hung out. But the thing was, I didn't know anything about church. So I got in there and I'm like, what are they all doing? Why are we all sitting on the ground and talking about this Jesus guy? I did not get it. Matter of fact, I went home after a Sunday they'd brought me and they'd given me like a dollar or something. And I told my foster mom, you know, they're so obsessed with religion, they even put it on their money. And I didn't know in God we trust was something that was just on our money, but I was sure there was something wrong. I'm like, yeah, right, a guy who loves you regardless of where you've been, a person who doesn't care about your past, I've heard this all before, and I've seen the front door. So I led it to the wayside, and I got in this home with her, and she loved me regardless of what I would do. She stuck around. There was no 30-day notice, and she let me go visit with all these families that wanted to adopt me. But my idea of adoption was that I was replacing my family. And to me, I'm like, I already have 2 sisters and mom. I don't want to replace anyone. I'm sorry. So I even rejected the idea of adoption because I didn't understand. I didn't understand it meant expanding your family. It meant being loved well, right? That's what adoption was. It didn't mean that you were picking one over the other. But that's how I felt in the moment. So I'd go, and one day she pulls me aside, and she goes, you don't have to go with them if you don't want to. You can stay here. So I did for 10 years. And we have a beautiful relationship. We walk through, and in high school, let me just tell you guys a little bit more about where it ended. And then we're going to get there. I'm going to tell you where I'm at with my future. If you can go to the next slide. But it was around my 9th grade year, and it was for a while that I'd started seeking out this religion thing. You know, it started here, that's the seed, right? And there were little people who came along and watered it. And these guys showed up and they broke bricks and they tore phone books and they did all these ridiculous things. But it was at a church. And I was like, who are these guys? They're ridiculous. And they had these stories, though, of being from the streets. And I was like, maybe they have my answer because I lived on the streets. I think like that. I think like they do. I'm going to go see what they have to say. And that night, I gave my life to Christ. And I never turned back. I was like, this guy's legit. Thank you. Thank you so much. But I began to think, well, what does he say about me? I'm that orphan kid. Why did this happen to me, God? I thought you loved me. And if you loved me, why would you do this to me? Because I was still that angry little girl, because we all know we could come to Jesus, but we still got some healing to do, right? And if you're not amening that, then you're lying to yourselves. Just kidding. So it says, I am the orphaned. I had no mom, no dad. It says, the father of the fatherless, the protector of the widows is God and his holy habitations. Psalm 68:5. That resonated with me. I was like, because there's a God, this guy upstairs who everybody follows, who millions of people around the world recognize. You know one of the titles he gave himself? Father of the fatherless. Ooh, that got to me because I'd never met my father before. But I'm like, this God who I've chosen to follow, that's what he says about me, that he claims me, that he is this omnipresent person. You know, I can't pronounce that word. He's all over the place at once, and everybody worships this guy, and he's claiming me. I'm nobody, but he sees me as somebody, to the point where one of his titles is Father of the Fatherless. Man, that's a big deal. Because I know some of us in here, we struggle with that. We've had hard times, or maybe a mom or a dad, there's something that has happened. We're not in right relationship, and it is hard to understand. But then I remembered there was free will, and I continued to seek out this thought, like, who am I to God? Who am I? So our next slide we're going to go on to, it says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's case. Isaiah 1:17. Here's the thing. He didn't just recognize me and call me as his own. He wanted to make my situation right. That angry little girl was like, oh, he's trying to bring justice. People who had hurt me, done things to me. And you know, you get to that point where that stuff weighs you down, right? How many of us have carried around something somebody has done to us? Sometimes it's they moved your bathroom stuff in the wrong place and they might be sitting next to you, but that's a different sermon. I'm talking about real hurts, you guys. I'm talking about things that you know somebody did. Maybe it was in fifth grade and somebody called you the wrong name. Maybe it was somebody in your family who has hurt you and they still haven't apologized. We carry that, right? I did. And I thought, well, I know that you say I'm yours. Everybody said I'm theirs, but look, where's my mom? Where's my dad? You're father of the fatherless, but I'm still fatherless, God. I'm still fatherless. But then I saw it right there. He said he's going to bring justice to the fatherless. And I knew in other verses, he said he heard my cries. So I would cry out to him frequently, like down on my knees, pleading, Lord, please put my family back together. I know you've given me this other amazing mom, and I love her, but I haven't seen my sisters. I haven't seen my bio mom, and I know everybody says there's something wrong with her, but I miss her, and I would cry out. But I knew he was working on it. I knew he was working to make things right. And this last verse right here, you guys can bring it to the next slide. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions, to keep oneself unstained from the world. James 1:27. His idea of perfect religion is that people come visit orphans. Oh, it was like, so I knew he was out there telling the churches this. And I'm going to tell you guys, I would show up on Sundays, bring the people that you didn't want to see in church to the front of the church. And I would say and question and ask. I'm sure Pastor Bloom, God bless his soul, he loved me. Him and his wife were like, here she comes again. No, they loved us so well. And those youth pastors, and you guys should give it up for your youth leaders and your youth pastors. Because let me tell you. Our teenagers, our young people, you guys, they're going through it. And we don't wear that on the outside, right? We come in our Sunday best, but you can't see all the pain and the hurt that's built up or the anger or the frustration. I didn't wear it on the outside. You couldn't see that in me. All that people knew was, yeah, she was in foster care, but nobody had any idea what that meant. So how did I get from going from being this angry little 8-year-old girl to the woman I am today? Well, I'm going to continue to tell you some of my story. After I found Jesus, I stayed in the church. I stayed at it. And I was the only believer in my house. And come upon the graduation, my graduation day, my entire family showed up. My extended family, my bio family. And how that happened was that God started bringing pieces. First, he brought my little sister back into my life and my older sister. My mom had refused to speak to me because she said, you were supposed to be adopted. What happened? This is not, you were supposed to be loved by somebody. Did I do something wrong? And I told her, I just want to see you. I just want to be in right relationship with you. And, you know, my other mom, she would say, baby, I want you to know that's your mom. I'm never going to be your mama. But she may not have the capacity to be the kind of mom you want or need. And I had to take that to God. I did. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, love her where she's at, the way that I'm loving you. So I did. Told her, it's okay. I'm not angry at you. I forgive you. I started forgiving one piece of my story at a time. I started forgiving. And the church would come around me, you guys. I had this older lady called Grandma Kay. You guys will go to the next slide. And she started giving me motherly moments. She and youth pastors and all these different women, what she said, it was like a generational thing that the church had, bringing the older generation to the younger generation and gapping them together. And I went to it thinking like, oh, my friends are going to be there. Well, I found this older woman who was in her 60s and she said, you know, hi, my name is Kay. Oh, well, I just offended some people. Wait, hold on. I was 14. I now realize in my 30s that that is not old. But for my 14-year-old stuff, some of you just got up and tried to walk out the door. Hold on. Let me finish my story. I know a lot of people just got real uncomfortable. Like, oh, Jesus, that's 60 years old. It's not what I mean. Older to the age I was. Is that okay with you guys? Yeah, yeah. Before people storm on me. But she said, you can call me Grandma Kay. And she walked with me. She answered my uncomfortable questions. She talked about the things nobody wanted to talk about with me. Picked me up every Sunday. Gave me advice when I was dating not so great guys. Told me things like, baby, if you're both pulling on a rope but going opposite directions, you ain't gonna get nowhere. And I was like, what? Is that yoking concept we talked about in church? Oh, okay. So I got to let him go, huh? No? Okay. So she was the person I brought people to, and I could tell on her face whether she approved or not. You know, she gave me one of those, like, those looks that I give my kids now that I said I was never going to do, where, like, you know, I'm like, oh, it's so great to meet you. And then I'm like, You know, she gives me that look, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I think I give it to my kiddos now. Sometimes I give it to the girls I mentor. They know by the look on my face. They're like, I didn't want to tell you that. And I did it, or whatever the case is. But I say this, she gave me these motherly moments. Stepping into different roles to love people and children grows roots to our legacy and to our community. Now, what does that mean? What am I talking about here? Your legacy is what you leave after you're done here. It's how people remember you. We all know who Martin Luther King is, right? Yeah, we do. We all know who Cesar Chavez is, Mother Teresa. Even if they're not alive today, you want to know why? They left a legacy. We talk about them. We even have holidays after them. We remember the words they say. People quote them across the world in speeches. That's their legacy. They gave away motherly, fatherly moments to people who were outside of their family, just like Jesus did, just like Mary did. And I, you know, I started thinking about that. I was like, whoa, Jesus was a foster kid. God placed him with a family, right? That's true. We don't always think of him like that. I see some of you like, what did she just say? But it's true. God, his father, was in heaven, and he went to Mary, the person we least expected, and Joseph, like, showed up to them after them fighting. I'm sure that was an awesome scene to see, aside of what we hear in the Bible. I like to think of that kind of stuff, you know, and put somebody that he could trust who would give her motherly moments to a baby and believe something that sounded far-fetched. This baby was going to be king and save the world. Is that was me, I would have been like, nope, take him back. I can barely handle my 3 and 5 year old. I don't know about this person who's supposed to save the world. I have anxiety attacks. But Mary did it, you guys. Another famous orphan that I like to think about, Moses, who stuttered, ran away, did all this crazy stuff. But God still said, whoa, 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 your destiny's back there, buddy. So every time I start to say, Lord, why do I have to share my story again and relive the hurt and the pain and be all vulnerable in front of people on a stage? He goes, remember Moses, that guy parting Red Seas that we sang about this morning? I'm like, fine, you're right. And I do it, and I'm obedient. But I say all of this to say, you guys, there were people who invested in them. We see them as great leaders, but I guarantee you, there were people who said, hey, keep going. Mary Magdalene, Martha, giving Jesus motherly moments. We don't think about that, but they did. A mother is the heartbeat of a family, right? You mothers are doing something phenomenal, and we do it day in, day out, because it's in the breath of who we are. We don't even think about it. When somebody says, how do you have 2 kids and work and be a wife and do all this stuff? I say, I don't know. I just get up and I do it because I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't look at my kids and say, how do I love them today? I think, how do I get them dressed? How do I put their shoes on? He just ran away and took one off. If you would have been at my house this morning, you'd be like, yeah, I don't know if you were mothering. I have an amazing partner and I'm lucky. My husband, Kevin, we should just give him a round of applause. Dude, I'm telling you. Yeah, you know, they say behind every good man, there's a good woman. Well, behind every good woman, there's a good man, too. Goes both ways. So I'm just saying, giving away our motherly moments, what that does is it spreads out our legacy, right? It spreads out our legacy, and it just doesn't extend beyond us. It's like the ripple effect. It starts becoming your friends, kids. We all have maybe nieces or nephews, or we're an auntie to somebody that's not really our kids, right? How many of you guys? Maybe an uncle, an auntie. Yeah, I see some of you in the back. Okay, even some people who are here today. We have family titles when we're not biologically related. We do it naturally. And the more we do this, the further it extends out. This is the way we're going to take over Santa Maria, you guys. This is the way we're going to come in and bring Jesus to everybody in our community. We don't even have to say his name. We're just going to come in and bring in his principles and his kingdom, and it's going to rise up in the middle of families. It's going to rise up in the middle of schools. It's going to rise up in the middle of CWS, Child Welfare Services, because you guys share your motherly moments. It comes naturally to you. Can we go to the next one? I'm going to share with you. There's a woman in the Bible called Deborah. She's my new hero. A village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Judges 5:7. You guys, I'm 100% sure I wasn't there, but that she was not biologically the mother to Israel. That's a lot of babies. But she was the mother. She was the one that said, are you sure you want to do that? Let's think about that strategy. She gave her wisdom. She shared her experiences. She gave of herself. She emptied the cup as God poured into her. She poured out. That's what giving motherly moments is. That's all it is. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not something you have to be afraid of. It's who you were meant to be for such a time as this, right? So next one, what does that look like? Next slide, please. Oh, one of the mamas is here today, my mother-in-law. I just want to honor her. She's an amazing mother-in-law, you guys. Some people, all those jokes about mother-in-laws, lucky me, I lucked out. God was like, you know, you didn't work out so much with all the moms, so I'm going to give you an amazing mother-in-law to make up for it. That's that justice piece, and she's here today. She gives away her motherly moments like I haven't seen anyone do before. You just walk up to her and you meet her and she's like, oh, it's so great to see you. She wants to give you an encouraging word. She even once told us that, I'm just going to share this, Prudence, I'm sorry, I hope it doesn't embarrass you. a salesperson called her, and she goes, I don't need that product, but do you know Jesus? And kept him on the phone, and led him to Christ. Like, I'm not going to let you go until you say you love Jesus. And I was like, oh. But you know what? That's inspiring, right? How many of us are going to be brave enough to do that? Because you know they might still keep calling us. So now that I know Jesus, will you buy this product? Let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. But the other one is, that's my social worker. One day she sat. She's the reason I got to go to Europe, go see the world, do a lot of things. One day she came in. I said, look, I'm a good kid, da-da-da-da. You could check off all your marks. Look, you're ready to go. 5 minutes. And she said, what? I said, well, that's what you come here to do, right? Check off the box. And she goes, no, I want to see you. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you're about. I want to know what you love. I want to know why you're here. I want to know more than that's in this case file that people pass around about you. I don't want to just see your face. I want to see your life. And she loved me, and she made sure I got visits with my sisters, and she made sure I went to Europe, and she made sure she showed up at my graduation when my entire family was there, and it was a family reunification, guys, reunified with my bio family, my extended family. God is in the business of miracles, and he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It is so true. I couldn't have imagined that people I'd never met in my entire life from Hawaii would fly out to see me at a high school graduation. I couldn't imagine that we would all, because my bio mom couldn't be there, go drive an hour and a half away to see her. You guys, over 20 years of broken ties were reunited in one day. One day. That's phenomenal. I don't know about you, not just because it's my life story, but that just blows my mind. But that's what God is in the business of doing. That's that justice, bringing it back to his word. That's what he said he was gonna do, because I trusted him. Because I gave him my life. I said, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still mad at times. I'm still angry. I'm still hurt. But I said, I'm going to believe what you said, and I'm just going to keep walking through my hurt and through my pain, and I know that you've forgiven me. And the thing is, I don't know how to do many things very well. I feel like sometimes I say that. But I know how to keep going. I always tell people, what you see is what you get. You guys, I'm not just like this up on the stage. I know that's a little scary, but I'm like this all the time. I know, my poor husband. But it's true. Can you bring me to the next slide? Other motherly moments. The lady that's off to your guys' right, she has gone to heaven. God rest her soul. She was one of my spiritual mamas. And the reason she passed was of an enlarged heart, which I feel like is so perfect for her. And I remember I called her the first time. This is my best friend's mom. And I said, one of my best friends. And I called her and I said, I don't know what I'm doing in this spiritual walk, but I need someone. She's like, I've been waiting for you to call. That's how she responded. I've been waiting for you to call. And I think it's so beautiful, because she couldn't do much, but she would invite me over for coffee and answer my questions about God, the things I didn't understand. And we talked about visions, and we talked about hope, and we talked about changing the world together. She helped me to cast vision. And her legacy lives in so many of us today, because we go out spreading the good news the way she imagined it to be. And that's my older sister, Cynthia, with the glasses on. She's an amazing mama. She has two beautiful kids. And she helps veterans. She's in Washington doing her thing. But she gave me motherly moments. See, all these people in all these different roles, can you go to the next slide? It's not about what role they played in my life, realistically speaking. You know what it's about? It's about their willingness to step out and give their motherly moments. And this picture here, I love it. I love it. You see the man in the middle. It's not Father's Day, and the woman next to him. That is another one of my best friends, dad, and her mom. And the funny story about this is when I began to realize, so part of my story is when I went and I started recognizing, oh my gosh, I don't have a forever family, I started freaking out. I called my foster mom and she said, I'll adopt you. We did an adult adoption. It was amazing. But the thing I started recognizing, one of the questions they asked me is, who will walk you down the aisle? And I said, I don't know. I don't know who's going to walk me down the aisle. If I ever get married, I don't know who that's going to be. This man right here walked me down the aisle, and his wife, she didn't even know me that well. She didn't even understand they married later on in life. She loves my kids. Oh my God, how she loves my kids. And she doesn't have to. She doesn't understand. But she was just like paired along with her husband and said, my kids don't know the difference that that's their grandma or that somebody else could be their grandma. I'm pretty sure my kids think we're related to everyone. Have a different issue that I'm going to have to solve later. And also in this picture, that's my best friend, the sassy one in the orange shirt. She would kill me if she knew she was up on the stage. We won't tell her. And my little sister is the one I got my arm around. And she's also amazing. She's out in Florida, and she's mentoring, loving kiddos and all of these different things, you guys. Giving away motherly moments. This morning, I was sitting with one of my other sisters, and she was helping me, you know, curl my hair. And she goes, what are motherly moments? What are you talking about? You know, and I was explaining it to her. So she's all, I'm giving you a motherly moment right now. And she's younger than me. I was like, yes, you're giving me a motherly moment. But I said that because that's what it's about, right? We can do this. Who can do this? Yeah, I love it. Thank you guys so much, okay? So the other piece of like what I like to think about and what I want to talk about today is when, can we go to the next slide? Is giving away your motherly moments is a way to honor mothers everywhere. The thing I think about my kids, I'm always like, no, don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't hit him. But when I see my kids being kind, and I see them loving people well, I feel so honored. I'm so proud. I'm like, oh, I did that. Yeah, yeah, that's my kid. My kids are super cute, by the way, if you haven't met them. They're so adorable. But they are so ornery in some ways. But when they're just like, you know, all moms know this, right? They're snuggling and they're asleep and we're like, oh, I knew I loved you. All the time. When they're sleeping, you just see how precious and perfect they are. Or when I see my older one, instead of hitting his brother, he goes, I want to protect you, brother. He said that the other day. I want to protect you, so you have to listen to my rules of the game. I know it's not exactly in the right context, but it was there, and I'm taking it. It's my win. Stop judging me. The point is, I'm never more proud than when they're loving and doing kind things. So I think that's a great way to honor mothers everywhere, right? Is to spread love, to win our city over with giving out our motherly moments. And as Mr. Don said, who's married to the beautiful Prudence, he goes, our day is coming. Our day is right around the corner in June. So you can also give away your fatherly moments, right? I know it's Mother's Day and you guys are awesome, but soon enough, I just have to put it out there. You can also give away fatherly moments. Sometimes there's some single daddies who are giving up motherly moments as well, right? They've got to be the heart, the mind, the soul. Just like mamas out there who are being those dads and being the heart, the mind, the soul, being one with God, of course, because he covers that. Can we go to the next slide? So the last piece, I want to talk to you guys. Do you guys care if I read you another piece I wrote? Would you guys like that? It's another spoken word piece? Okay. So let me pull it up on my phone right here. Sorry. That's why the whole reason I brought this up here. And of course, it pulls up my camera. Give me 1 second. I'm like, I'm about to have you guys pray this into existence. It's called All the Things I Couldn't Say. In all the things I couldn't say, and the words left unsaid, and the moments that went astray, is where my broken family lay. Till they came and took me away like it was just another Monday. But that was my family's doomsday. This is when my whole world went gray. I began to lose sleep. Their words would creep out to linger about, haunting me without cease, a ringing in my mind, line after line of my family, my past, my worries rehashed, and I knew they were all thinking, where will this kid land that will last? The pressure was real, pent-up emotions boiled to the top, and I swear I was about to pop. My anger began to rage, and I acted out like I was caged until finally I caved. I just walked around in a daze, living in what felt like a forever haze of court dates and visits and people who stared, all promising me that they truly cared. But the remarks became noise, trying to fill an empty void, so silence became golden, and silver linings faded, and I felt like a kid who was just being graded. Failing to connect, failing to thrive, failing to want to even be alive, failing in a system that had failed me, derailed me, put me on the fast track to nowhere, Jack. I was falling through the cracks, and right when the world was about to turn its back and plunge me into a black hole of nevers, a black hole of nevers and always, and I'm sorry to hear that, is when I saw them, a small family way in the back. I could feel that they heard my cries. They could see me through the mask I wore, longing to sit with me in the pain, knowing it would lead to my gain. They were okay with all the rain that had fallen in my life, from tears and fears and ugly stains. It was my hurricane, and it had passed. Maybe now I could belong at last, no longer that outcast, casted in a play where so many kids stay, because there aren't enough families, so they say. Luckily, that's not me today. Because those somebodies see me as their someone. They say I'm a prodigy of overcoming, an overachiever in resilience. The truth is, my story was not written in ink. They knew a forever family would soon be my link to put me back in sync. Pull me away from the edge, bring me into a world less gray with more colors in play. Here is where I can create a new fate. I was given a clean slate, and a sweet new melody plays in my mind, reminding me old family never fades, and adding new family never fails, because now I'm learning to rewrite my tale. That's it. Thank you. So, you know, the beautiful thing about this piece, and it's my favorite part of this piece, is that when I originally wrote it, I call around and I ask people, I said, hey, what do you think? Will you listen to me? Will you listen to me? I practice and I practice and I practice. Well, one of my mentees said, well, JoJo, it sounds perfect, but there's something missing. And I said, what's that? She said, and you have to understand this is the revised piece. She said, not all of us get families. So how are you going to let them know we all don't get families? And that moment broke my heart a little bit inside. Because I thought, when did family become a privilege? When did family become a privilege for these kids instead of a right, a priority, a choice? I understand that we all have our different stories and there's all these things, but God cares about the orphans. And of foster kids, there are orphans. Although 50% of them may go back to their families, that family still needs to be loved on, so we don't see that re-happening, those generational curses taking over, right? So they could use that support. That's the same thing. And although these kids, if they stay in the system and they are orphaned, when did it become an option that they don't get a family? Because I remember God said, He places the fatherless with families. He cares about family more than I think sometimes we realize. I remember he looked at Mary and said, Mary, this is your son, and this is your mother, right? That's one of the last things he did, was bring family together, place people with families, and I knew she was right. So I spent another 2 days reworking that piece so I could say the line that said, cast it in a play where so many kids stay, because there aren't enough families, so they say. Luckily, that's not me today, because those somebodies see me as their someone. And I know it's a simple line, but I did it to honor everybody's story. And I know art is it's up to who writes it, right? You don't have to like my art. Sometimes we walk into museums and we see a couple of slashes and we're like, seriously? My kids can do that. But my husband always tells me, because he's an artist, but they didn't, and they're making money. And I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. But it says, God places the fatherless with families, and he did for me. The biggest part I want to tell you guys today is I believe in creative solutions. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I believe that he came, he died on the cross, died for our sins, and that his blood covers over everything, even for these kids, and that he wants to redeem their story like he did with mine. Mine shouldn't be so surprising and like, oh, look at how amazing her story is. She's awesome. No, we're all awesome. As another one of my mentees says, she's all, do you know how awesome we are? I've got four girls graduating. Guys, one with a master's in business, better than I did. Another one who's about to get her RN. Another one who is getting her MA, medical assisting license. And another one who's transferring to UCSB. I'm pretty sure because that's my alma mater. I graduated from UCSB. I'm like, yeah, I see you. UCSB, woo, go Gauchos. Sorry, I'm done. But I say that is that all these kids are awesome. Yeah. It says he hears their cries. So if you're looking for a way to get closer to Jesus, bring an orphan on in, and we're going to help you get closer to Jesus. We're going to build your patience. We're going to test your ways. But you know what? It's going to grow your capacity to know who God is and what he's all about. Because if that's a title he carries, Father of the Fatherless, let me tell you, it's something he cares about. It's at the heart of who he is. So I don't say it to like burden you guys with this. This is our privilege. This is our honor to love kids well. And there are creative solutions, right? I know some of you are thinking, JoJo, I can't bring kids into my house right now for X, Y, Z. I've heard the reasons. And I'm not just talking about that. Maybe we can give our motherly moments through mentoring, right? Maybe it's coming out to some of the events we have and helping us pass out a flyer. Who can do that? I think we all can do that. We can all pass out a flyer. Maybe it's wearing a pin like Pastor Tim has on his shirt, right? Saying, this is Foster Care Awareness Month. Did you know? And passing on that information and saying, I know this girl. She came to our church and she helps with foster care. Let me put you in touch with her. Those are creative solutions to loving our kids well, loving our foster care community well. Because it's not just the kids, it's the families. It's not just the families, it's our community. It ripples out, you guys. And then you guys are putting your roots in deep, and you're sending them out. Because that's what God calls us to do, is to put our roots in deep into this community so we can love any. You know, when he talks about going as a disciple, right? Go and make disciples. Doesn't mean just get up and go somewhere. Some of us missions, they do that. But it means as we're going, as we go along day in and day out, it's not just Pastor Tim's job to get up here and tell you guys, but it's our job as a whole family. You guys are family. And I just came in. Thank you for having me be part of your guys' family today. But you guys are a family. And as a family unit, it's our job to go and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. It's not just given to pastors. It's not just given to youth leaders. It's given to each and every one of us. It's a personal thing. So when it's saying go and make disciples, it's as we go. Everywhere we go in life, in our work, in our homes, in everyday things that we do. And that's how we can give away those motherly moments in the everyday things, in creative solutions, because I always believe there's a way. Because people believed in me. And if people would have stopped believing in me, I don't know that I'd have a family today. My family is complicated and it's twisted, and I always say my family tree looks like this. But I have one. I have a story. I have a future. I have a destiny because people gave me their motherly moments. Because people took time to invest in who I was and show me Christ incarnation. They walked out that calling, and they didn't care if they got to do it for 5 minutes or 5 years. They did it. They took the time. And I'm going to tell you right now, you guys, it's rippling out. I'm loving kids. I'm in the trenches. You know, people call me 1, 2 in the morning. I'm going to pick up. We've had people stay with us. My husband has been so gracious. He bought me the perfect person. We've had kids stay with us in our home as they're older and they've aged out. If they needed somewhere to be so they don't end up homeless. There's just things we're doing. So my challenge to you guys today, As I know, Mother's Day can sometimes be a painful holiday for some of us because maybe we're not in right relationship with our mom. I get that. Maybe we don't speak with our mom or they've passed away or whatever. Maybe we can't be moms. But it doesn't mean that you can't, because being a mother just isn't the physical part. It's the attitude we carry, how we love people. It's the caring we do. Because I can think of plenty of moms who are not biologically a mom, but they're godmothers and they're spiritual mamas. And there's different ways. It's about what we do with our time here on earth. It's about being the heart of God to those who need it. So please come see me in the back. Talk to me about creative solutions.